Amen. Well, before I begin, I do want to thank Pastor Jimenez, of course, for the opportunity to preach up here and to be able to serve here. It's always a great honor to be able to preach behind this pulpit. So I want to say thank you to him for that. And so we're there, 1 Thessalonians 4. And if you would look at verse number 1 again, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, the Bible says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us," and then it says this, it says, "how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." So here, Paul telling the church there, Thessalonica, that we've told you, we've exhorted you, and we're begging you that you would have received of us how you ought to walk, how you ought to live your life in such a way that is what? It says, and to please God, in a way that is pleasing to God. And it's obvious, you know, as God's people, that's an obvious statement that we should live a life in this world that is pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. And then it says, so ye would abound more and more. What is it? That's constant growth in your life. So we should be striving in this world to be constantly growing, to be constantly striving to live a life that is pleasing to God more and more. See, our lives should constantly be changing for the better in a way that we live our life that is pleasing unto the Lord. In verse number 4, it goes on to say this. It says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It says we ought to possess our vessel, our body, our life. It should be because of these two things. Because we should be sanctified, that means we should be set apart for the work of the Lord. But it says also, and in honor. You know, what is honor? Honor is a life of dignity, a life to be esteemed. You know, the world should look at us as Christians, and they should look at a life that is, you know what, somebody that they can look to, that they say, you know what, that's a dignified life. That is a good life to live. Look at that example of that Christian. And, you know, it only makes sense, you know, and it's obvious that, you know, if you're sitting in church, you know, your life and my life, you know, for those of you that, you know, are faithful to church, you know, your life should look different than those of the unsaved people around you. You know, your life shouldn't match up to your unsaved coworker. Your life shouldn't be the same as your unsaved relative. Look, there should be a difference in the way you live your life as opposed to somebody who does not go to church. They're not saved. They don't read the Bible. And there should be a difference in our lives. And then in verse 12, Paul says this. He says, they may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. It says that ye may walk, notice, honestly toward them that are without. See, he says that we ought to walk, to live and act and behave, to pursue a life course that is what? That is honest. You know, the word honestly, it's referring to being upright, to being just. It's living a life of integrity and fairness. You know, this is something that our pastor is constantly trying to teach us about, having integrity in life. It says we should live our life, we should walk honestly with integrity toward them that are without. It says, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You know, what is that? What does it mean to have a lack of nothing? It means that you live a life that is content, that is satisfied. And as God's people, look, we have everything we need to live a life that is content. And in this chapter, Paul gives us three ways how you and I can live a life that people can look to and they can esteem. They can say, you know, that's a dignified life, a life that is pleasing to God. You see, what are those three things? We'll look at verse number 11. It says this, and that ye, number one, notice it says, study to be quiet. And two, number two, it says, notice, do your own business. And two, number three, work with your own hands as we commanded you. You see, how do we live a life in this world where people can look to, where people can want to emulate and look up to, a life that is pleasing to God? Well, number one this evening, I want to begin, is that you ought to study to be quiet. It says in verse 11 again, it says, and that ye study to be quiet. That's an interesting phrase right there. Study to be quiet. You know, you think of parents. You know, obviously, I'm a parent. If you're a parent, you don't, when your kids are out of control, you don't say, hey, kid, you know, learn, study to be quiet. No, you say, kids, be quiet. Keep it down. You're too loud. You tell them to be quiet. But you know what? As parents, we got to teach our kids how to be quiet. And here it's an interesting phrase, but Paul tells the church there that you ought to study. You gotta learn to be quiet. You know, what is study? Study is the devotion of time and attention to acquiring knowledge. It is to learn. You know, what does it mean to be quiet? It means making little or no noise. It means a life that is calm, a life that is peaceful. You see, how do we live a life pleasing to God in this world? Number one, you gotta study to be quiet. Now look, in this world, we live in a very loud world, don't we? I mean, everyone's just screaming and yelling. You know, you drive down the road, the cars are bumping the music. It's just so loud. You got to roll up the windows because you can't hear the birds chirping. You know, everyone's just loud. Everyone's just screaming at the game, just going crazy. It's like, man, have some self-restraint in your life. But, you know, sadly, even Christians, they can't go a day without just having the TV on. You know, they need the sound. They need something to be playing. They need the loudness. You walk into homes today, and what do you see? You see people just screaming and arguing. A life that is just of anger, not content. A life that is loud and disorderly. But, you know, as God's people, we should strive to live quiet lives. Can you place there in 1 Thessalonians 4, but go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, 1 Timothy 2. So how do I live a life pleasing to God in this world? Number one, you got to study to be quiet. Paul said, and that you study to be quiet. He said that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. 1 Timothy 2, look at verse number 1. It says in verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. It says, notice, for kings and for all that are in authority. And what's that saying? Like, that's saying, like, you got to pray for the leaders. You got to pray for the kings. Look, pray for President Biden. Pray for the governor. Is it for his health? No, it says, notice, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, I pray for these leaders to stay out of my life and out of my business so I can just live a life of peace, a quiet life where I can just serve God with my life. Amen. And, you know, we should be striving to do what? To live a life that is quiet and peaceable. What is peaceable? Peaceable is freedom from disturbance. It is tranquil. And you say, how is it done? It's done through godliness and honesty. And then it says in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. See, as God's people, you got to just define this in your life. You know, could you say that your life is one that is quiet? Because, you know, many people, sadly today, many people out there, they're living a life that is just of chaos, of noise, just constant arguing, constant battles. It's just, there's just no peace. But see, quietness is something that you ought to study to learn, to attain with devotion and time. Learn to be quiet. Same thing with kids. Look, our kids are not going to naturally just be quiet. They're going to be loud and rambunctious, going to cause problems. But we got to teach them to be quiet. And here God says, look, we got to strive to lead a life that is quiet and peaceable in all godliness and honesty. You see, how's that done? We'll go to Matthew 14. If you go to Matthew 14, how do you study to be quiet? Well, you got to devote time and attention to being alone. You know, Pastor recently mentioned this in his sermon. You got to just devote time and attention to just being alone with God. And we live in a world where people just don't want to be alone. But look, you got to just learn, and this pastor tells us this, you got to just learn to turn off the noise in life. You know, we don't always have to have something blasting in our ears. We don't always have to be, you know, screaming and yelling. We should just strive to, on purpose, get away from the noise, get away from the strife, get away from the struggles, and devote time and attention to just what? To just being alone. And in Matthew 14, in verse number 22, we have the Lord Jesus Christ doing this. You know, after the great feeding of the 5,000, what does he do in verse number 22? It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. The word constrained, it means he compelled them, he forced them to do what? To get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Notice, while he sent the multitudes away. See, Jesus here on purpose doing what? He's on purpose trying his best to just be by himself. And look, I'll say this. Look, if the sinless Son of God, without sin, the perfect, spotless, no blemish Son of God needed time to on purpose get away from people, then you know what? You and I need the same thing. Amen. But you know what? It's not going to be done by accident. See, Jesus on purpose compelling the disciples, to sending them away, sending the multitudes away to do what? Just to be alone. In verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain, notice, apart, to pray. And when the evening was come, notice what it says. It says he was there alone. You know, there's very few times in my life where I've ever been in a mountain by myself. But, you know, I think of the story and I could just imagine the calm, the quietness. Well, you don't hear anything. There's just nobody around. It's just you and God. But look, in the same way, look, you and your Christian life, look, you're not going to spend time alone with God if it's not done on purpose. So you got to ask yourself, you know, do you have a time? And look, and you need this as a Christian. Look, what's going to set your life apart from the world? Because the world is constantly just hearing the noise. They're hearing the distraction. They're being fed. And sadly, you know, it's gotten worse and worse today. Look, nowadays, unfortunately, with the advancement of technology, we have a distraction, loads of distraction just in our pocket, where anyone could just flip on the noise, flip on the screen, flip on the music, and just get distracted so easily. But you know what? As God's people, what's going to set us apart? We got to take time every day to, on purpose, be alone. And I could just imagine being up there with Jesus on that mountain and just the silence that you would hear. And you know what? We should get used to that silence. You think of the story of Elijah after he defeated the prophets of Baal. It says that after the fire, the earthquake, the rocks were rent, there was just a still, small voice. And look, this is what we need. Look, as God's people, look, we shouldn't think that like life, and this is what the world wants. The world wants just excitement and the mountains and the rocks and the fire. They don't want the still quietness of peace. But look, God is the God of peace. The God of peace shall rule our hearts. We should strive to live a quiet and peaceable life. He has it done. Look, you got to devote time and attention in your life to being alone, with God, away from the noise, away from the distraction. Look, you need to just, on purpose, get away, devote time and being alone, and to do what? And just pray and talk to the Lord. It says, he had to study to be quiet. So how's it done? You have to devote time and attention to being alone. How else is it done? You have to devote time and attention to quieting yourself. Go to Psalm 77, if you would. Psalm chapter 77. You see, how do you live a life of pleasing to God? You have to study to be quiet. How's it done? Well, you have to devote time and attention to just quieting yourself. You have to spend time just thinking every once in a while. And just in your own mind, in your own heart, just be alone sometimes and just think and just ask yourself honestly, you know, how am I doing in my Christian life? I mean, do you ever just have a conversation with yourself where you can just talk to yourself and just be honest with yourself and just say, you know what, how am I doing in my Christian life? You know, how am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as a father? You know, how am I doing as a wife, as a mother? How am I doing as just a Christian? You know, is God pleased with me? Good. And what you know, sadly, the sad news is that we hear such great sermons week after week after week after week, but we get so used to it. And, you know, we got to just take time after every sermon we hear to just examine our own lives, to get alone and just on purpose devote time and attention to quieting ourselves. Psalm 77, look at verse number 6. Psalm 77, 6, the Bible says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. It says, I commune with mine own heart. Notice, and my spirit made diligent search. It says, I commune with mine own heart. He's speaking into himself. And what is he doing? It says, my spirit is making diligent search. Examining himself, examining his walk with the Lord, examining his life. But look, this ought to be you and I, every time we read the Word of God, every time we hear the Bible being preached, we should examine ourselves. But you know what it requires, though? It requires some peace and quiet. It requires you being alone, quietly, turning off the noise. Because look, the truth is, you know, after the sermon, the noise kicks up, the music starts, you start talking, which is great. You got a fellowship, but you know, when you get home, you got to just take time to think. And say, you know what? What does God want me to change in my life? What is it about the Word of God that I need to just fix? And how am I doing in my life? In verse number 12, it goes on in verse 12. It says, notice, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Again, just thinking, just meditating. It says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Go to Psalm 131, if you would, Psalm 131. You see, how do I live a life pleasing to God? You got to study, learn to be quiet. Get alone with God. Get alone with your thoughts. And look, this is a life that we should be striving to live for. Like the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. God is not the God of confusion. Look, God is not this God of just chaos where everything's just out of control, just loud, and just... No, look, our lives should be ones that is controlled, one of peace, one of calm, one of tranquility, living a life of quiet that is peaceable. Psalm 131, verse number 2, notice what it says. Surely I have behaved and, notice, quieted myself. And look, you ought to just be in your life, because look, people can irritate you, of course, and you can get mad at people, but look, you in your life, like, you ought to just be able to control your spirit and just quiet yourself and really just talk to yourself and just see, you know what? Examine your own heart, commune with your own thoughts, and make diligent search of where you are in your life. Surely I've behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. So I ask yourself, Christian, you know, do you ever just stop and make diligent search of yourself? You ever just stop in your life and just turn off the noise where you just, you know what, you just on purpose get away from people, from the media, from the sounds, where you can just be alone? Because look, it makes people uncomfortable nowadays, in the silence. You know, this is a good thing. Because it forces you to think. And you know what, we would do a lot of good as Christians is after we come to a church like this and our pastor preaches the sermons that he preaches, it would do us a lot of good that we go home and actually just think and be quiet and examine ourselves and spend time alone with God in prayer. Amen. We had to learn. And look, it's not easy. That's why he says you got to study to be quiet. Learn to ponder the word of God, to think of the word of God. You see, how do I study to be quiet? You got to devote time and attention to being alone. Devote time and attention to quieting yourself. You got to devote time and attention to the word of God. Go to James 1, if you would, James chapter 1. And look, we're talking about a life that is pleasing to God, a life in this world. It says, he said, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. He said that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. And he says, study to be quiet. See, you should also devote time and attention to the word of God. And look, obviously, this is a no-brainer, is that, you know, reading will force you to be quiet. Because you know what? You're reading, you're using your brain, you're using your eyes, you're thinking about what the Bible says. In James 1, look at verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Again, talking about the fact that our lives should be different than the world's. We should be conformed to the image of his son. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, notice, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, it says you ought to be quick, swift to listen, and slow to speak. You know, when you're quick to listen, that means you're not so quick to talk. And, you know, we naturally, we want to just speak our mind and speak our and say our words. But here the Bible says, look, we ought to be swift, quick, ready and willing to just listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what the preaching says. Spend time with the word of God. Devote time and attention. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21, therefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Notice, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. I like how it says receive with meekness the engrafted word. You know the word meek? You know, somebody who is meek, that's the opposite of being loud. Meekness is being gentle and submissive. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am lowly and meek. Moses is the meekest man upon the face of the earth. How should we receive the preaching of the word of God? It should be with meekness. It should be one of submission, one of gentleness, the opposite of being loud. You see, look, in your life, look, you gotta just devote time and attention to the word of God. And look, that means, yeah, when the preaching is going on, when the word of God is being preached, you gotta just be swift to listen. Amen. And say, you know what? What's God trying to tell me? But and look, the reality is that we're so spoiled in this church.
Right.
With the great sermons, because look, one sermon can change your life. Like this past Sunday for the ladies, I'm sure that sermon could change any woman's life should she choose. Should she be swift to hear? Amen. And don't worry, man, you know, our day of reckoning is coming on Sunday, right? But you know what? Praise the Lord. Amen. And the attitude, you know what? I'm ready. I'm listening. I'm going to listen before I even speak. I'm going to receive with meekness. What is that? That's gentleness, peace, calm, tranquil. Receive with meekness the word of God. Receive it. Be ready to receive it. And when it's preached, you got to just on purpose get alone. On purpose, devote time and energy quieting yourself, communing with your own heart upon your own bed. And say, you know what, God, make diligent search of my heart. What can I change in my life? And you see, how do we live a life that is pleasing God? You have to study to be quiet. And look, this shows here that we should listen more than we talk. Why? Because look, faith cometh by hearing. We grow, we walk by faith and not by sight. We need to listen to the word of God, read the word of God, apply the word of God, and then apply the word of God. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, if you look at 1 Thessalonians 4. So he begins, he says, and that ye study to be quiet. It says that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, a life of integrity, a life of dignity, a life that people can look to. He said, and that ye may have lack of nothing, a life that is content. You say, how do I live uprightly, justly, with integrity, honesty in this world? Devote time and attention to study, to being quiet. Not only that, he goes on, it says, and that ye study to be quiet, verse 11. And then number two, it says, and to do your own business. You see, how do I live a life that is pleasing to God? Number two, it says, do your own business. You know, another way you could say it is, you know what, mind your own business. And I'm saying that, and it sounds rude, like mind your own business, but you know what I'm saying, like mind, think of your own business. Mind, and yeah, you know what, mind your own business. You know, but mind, just think. Do your own business. And look, we live in a world today where we're in everyone else's business. I mean, I can just pull out the phone and just start looking at somebody else's life. And just start comparing yourself. And just be worried about what somebody else is doing. What the other coworker is doing. What the other spouse is doing. What the other family is doing. But here it says, like, you gotta just mind your own, do your own business. And look, comparison, it'll kill your contentment. Because comparison kills contentment. And then he said, look, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing, to live a life that is content. How's it done? Well, yes, you gotta do your own business. Mind your own business. Go to Proverbs 26, if you go to Proverbs chapter number 26. And look, we live in a day where we could just easily just get involved in other people's business. Proverbs 26. You see, how do you live a life that is pleasing to God? Well, look, you gotta mind your own business. And I'm saying like mind as in you ought to just think about your own life and strive. Just you don't have to get involved into things that just don't pertain to you. And something the pastor is teaching us, you know, we had the judgment series recently. Is it my place? Is it my problem? Is it my area of authority? Do I have authority over the situation? Am I in charge of these people? Is it my place? Is it my problem? But look, we're so quick to just meddle in things that honestly just do not matter. Proverbs 26, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him. You know, in the modern Bible versions, I think it says, he that scrolleth by. I'm just joking about that. But you know what? You could just do the same thing. He that passeth by, or he that pulls out the flip phone and just starts scrolling by and just starts meddling in things that honestly, it just doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help me. It doesn't help anyone become a better person when we start meddling in other people's business, getting ourselves involved in things that honestly don't pertain to us, don't help us, don't make us a better person, don't help us in our Christian walk. It says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I mean, is that a wise thing to do? Just take a dog by the ears? You look at that and be like, what are you doing? You know, it's a pit bull. Put it down. But you know what? We're so quick to just meddle in other people's business. And look, this is what the world does. But you know, as God's people, we should be different. We should mind and think about our own business. And look, how much time and how much time is wasted for people when they just consumed with other people's business, consumed with what so-and-so is doing, with what's going on with them. And look, so much time is wasted that we can have such a great life if we just take our time and just focus on ourselves. Go back to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And look, it is a bad thing in the Bible to be just meddling in other people's business, things that just don't pertain to us. 1 Timothy 5. Look, life is easier when we just mind our own business. I mean, how comfortable, like, how much better would life be if we would just honestly just focus on our own problems and not have to worry about what other people are doing. But it's just natural. People want to do this. 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 13. Here we have a warning for the ladies, but you know what? There's one for the men coming too. It says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, notice, but tattlers also and busybodies. It says, speaking things which they ought not. Just meddling in other people's business. But look, the same thing happens for the men. In 1 Peter 4:15, the Bible says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. I find it interesting how God puts being a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, and then he says, yeah, mind your own business. On top of that, don't be a busybody, just meddling in other people's business. You're like, is it that big of a deal? Well, he puts it with being a thief, being a murderer, evildoer, like, oh, by the way, you know, mind your own business. And look, I'm trying to say, like, the Bible says here, you got to study to be quiet and to do your own business. And so look, in life, you got to just be concerned with the areas that you need to work on and I need to work on. Because look, there's areas in our lives that, look, we need to focus on ourselves. And the reality is that we waste so much time worried about the other guy, the other lady. And at the end of the day, it doesn't make you or I a better person. Go to Psalm 119, if you would, Psalm chapter 119. So he said, do your own business. It says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. They may have lack of nothing. He said how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. How is it done? Well, you got to study to be quiet, but you also just do your own business. What that means is that we got to be concerned with the areas that we need to work on. Psalm 119, look at verse number 57. Psalm 119, 57, the Bible says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I like how the psalmist here says, notice, he said, I have said that I would keep thy words. Focusing on himself. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. He said, be merciful unto me according to thy word. In verse 59, he says this. He says, I thought on my ways. He's just thinking about his own ways. I thought on my ways, notice, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You know, in life, we ought to just have this rule of just making sure that we are doing what we should be doing. And look, if something is your area of authority, then yeah, you know what? Then if you need to mind that business, then mind that business. But if it doesn't pertain unto you, if it doesn't help you, if it's not your business, the Bible says that you ought to do your own business. And it's funny, he says, study to be quiet and do your own business. And you know, the flip side is that people who are loud tend to want to do other people's business. But here it says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Verse number 60, he said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. He said, but I have not forgotten thy law. You know, as God's people, you know, I just imagine God looking down at his people. And you know what God wants? Is God wants to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. They ought to meditate upon him, think about him day and night. I wish you just meditate upon the word of God and just always thinking about him, praising him, adoring him, loving him. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And when God looks down, I wonder what he thinks when he sees his people just minding the business of the world. Just concerned and consumed with things that are not really our business. Because look, we're just strangers and pilgrims. This isn't our home. And the things that the world wants to throw at you to make you distracted, you got to realize like that is a tool to get your mind off of what you should be focused on. And look, in life, you got to just ask yourself, you know, what are the areas in your life that you need to focus on? And honestly, just get to work in those areas. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. And like, you gotta just realize, like, we cannot control other people. We can only control ourselves. And the best things for ourselves is that we just mind what God has given unto us in our Christian life and turn our feet unto him. Go to John 21, John chapter 21. You see, how do you have a life that is pleasing to God? Well, you got to just do your business. Do your own business. And so you got to ask yourself, you know, what are the areas that you need to focus on in your life? And look, those are pretty easy to answer. You know, obviously, if you're in this church, if this is your church, look, you got to focus on this church. Obviously, you're a Christian. Obviously, your focus ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto him, right? The author and finisher of our faith, that should be your focus. Obviously, if you're a spouse, you got to be focused on being a good spouse. If you're a parent, look, that should be your focus. And you know, God wants us to just focus in our areas. In John 21, here we have the resurrected Christ appearing unto his disciples. And in John 21, look at verse number 20. Here we have Peter walking with Jesus, but then Peter just gets distracted. John 21, verse number 20, says, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. So you have Peter walking with Jesus, and he turns around, he sees John walking up behind him. It says, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to him, Lord, what shall this man do? And here we see Peter just looking back, seeing John, and he's thinking to himself, you know, Jesus, what about John? You know, like, what's his business? What's he up to? What's he going to do? And in verse 22, we see the response of our Savior. He says, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, he said, what is that to thee? And then he just says, mind your own business. But he says, you know what? Follow thou me. Look, he said, what is that to thee? What is it to you? What is it to you what somebody else is eating tonight? What is it to you what somebody else is going to do with their spouse, with their kids? What is it to you? He said, follow thou me. And look, in life, just realize, look, there's always somebody that we can look to and wondering, I wonder what they're doing. Well, Jesus would say, you know what? What is that to thee? See, there's no profit in us minding other people's business. If it's our area of authority, then do your business. That's your business. But if it's not our authority, if it's not our place, it's not our problem, then you know what? We should just be focused on what? Following him. This is how we should live. And look, at the end of the day, you're not going to answer for anyone but yourself. Every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. You're not going to give account for what somebody else is eating tonight, what they're watching tonight. But you know, you just got to worry about yourself. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So he said, and they study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. He said that you may walk honestly. And what does that mean? That I'm doing the best I can with what God has given me. Like when you're walking honestly, look, you're just, you're upright. You're saying, you know what? This is what I'm doing the best I can for the Lord. Walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. You see, how do I live in this world that is a life of dignity? People can look to a life that is pleasing to God. Number one, you got to study to be quiet. Devote time and attention to being alone. Devote time and attention to quieting yourself, pondering your own heart. Devote time and attention to the Word of God. You see, how do I live a life that is pleasing to God? You got to just do your own business. Be concerned with what God has given you in your areas and focus on what you should be doing. And he goes on to number three. He says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. And then he says, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Number three, you got to work with your own hands. You know, what does that mean? It means you got to get to work. Amen. You see, what's going to help you and me live the life that somebody in the world would look to and say, you know what, there's somebody who's got it going on. And it's work. And it's doing, working with your own hands. And, you know, a question that I've asked tonight, and I'm going to ask again, is, you know, what do you do with the sermons that are preached at our church? What do you do with what God has given you, with the Word of God? Like, what do you do with it? Do you do anything with it? I mean, I'm asking, like, do you take time to on purpose? Because could you imagine living a life where you just turn off the noise? Imagine living a life where you just cancel the noise of the world. The media, the movies, the music, the sports. Just imagine turning all that off and living a life where you're not minding other people's business, you're minding your own business. And not just that, where you're someone who you work with your own hands. When you take what God has given you, when you take the preaching of the Word of God, when you take the reading of the Word of God, and you actually decide to work at yourself, imagine the kind of life that we would live. I mean, I venture to guess we'd probably be doing, we would be abounding more and more. Amen. Living a life, how we ought to walk and to please God. So in life, look, you ought to get to work on your spiritual life. Go to James 1, if you go to James chapter 1. You say, how do I live a life pleasing to God? Look, you ought to work with your own hands. Not be lazy. And look, you ought to just get to work on your spiritual life. James 1, look verse number 22. The Bible says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. It says, deceiving your own selves. Like you said, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. You see, what happens to someone who comes to church, the right church? They hear the word of God. They know what the Bible says. They hear it. And then it says they deceive them their own selves. They're just lying to themselves. Because look, just sitting down at a pew is not going to change your life. The preaching of the Word of God can change your life if you would allow it to, if you would be a doer of the Word, if you would take what you just heard, and whenever it's preached, and you take it home and you apply it. For if any, verse 23, be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face in a glass. And you know what, I like to read that, and I don't like to read that. Because the reality is that, you know what, the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, it's like a mirror, you know? You think you look good, but like, man, we're pretty hideous, you know? Like, we got problems, you know? But you know, praise the Lord. But we see our natural face in a glass. You say, you know what, like, listen, this is you, this is your life. It's like, what are you going to do? And if we don't do anything, we deceive ourselves, and then we forget what manner of man we are. And we think, you know what? Well, I'm okay. I didn't need to apply that sermon in my life. But you gotta realize, we gotta be doers of the word. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself. Look, this person, he sees the problems. He says amen. He knows it's right, but he goeth his way. And straightway, that means immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. You see, the best time to apply a sermon is the moment you hear it. Amen. Look, the moment you hear a sermon, like this Saturday, man, you gotta just prepare yourself. We're gonna hear a sermon. But you know what? Just decide, you know what? I'm gonna apply that sermon the moment I hear it out of his lips. Because you know where you apply a sermon? You apply it in your heart, in your mind. When you decide, you know what? I'm gonna be that person. I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. And it's done by choice. Amen. When you decide and then you do. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, why don't people apply? Because you know what? It's work. It's hard. But you know what? This man, the one who does the work, applies in his life. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. And this is what we all want to strive to be. Somebody who God can bless. He has it done. It's done by you getting to work in your spiritual life. Go if you go to Proverbs 14, if you go to Proverbs 14. Here, just decide, you know what? Every time the word of God is preached, there's something that I could apply in my life. And be a doer of it. You see, how do you work with your own hands? You got to get to work on your spiritual life. But not just that. You got to live a productive life. And this is yet another theme of our pastorate. Maybe that's why it's coming out of my lips, you know? Because we can't but speak in the things that which we have seen and heard. Being productive. working hard, minding your own business, areas of authority, you know? But look, in life, look, we gotta just be productive. Work with your own hands. Don't work with your own hands. Meaning, look, we shouldn't let other people do our work for us. Meaning, look, a sermon like we just, like ladies you heard on Sunday morning, look, that is a work that you must do yourself. Your husband can't do that for you. On Saturday, man, look, our wives can't do that for us. We must do it ourselves. We must work with our own hands. Proverbs 14, look, verse number 23. It says, in all labor, verse 23, in all labor, notice, there is profit. Look, when you work in life in any area, look, the Bible says that there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. What is that? It's poverty. And so, look, I'm all for, you know, amening the sermons and you know, but you know what? More valuable than that is you actually just laboring in the word, right? Doing what God says. Go to Proverbs 13 if you go to Proverbs 13. See, we want to live a productive life where we work. Proverbs 13, look at verse number 4. Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Somebody who does not want to work in life, the soul of the sluggard desireth, and they have nothing. But the soul of the diligent, somebody who works hard and applies and does what God says and decides, you know what, I'm going to do what the Bible tells me. It says, this person shall be made fat. This person shall be blessed. And look, this, the Bible says that we got to walk honestly toward them that are without. And we got to live in such a way where the world would look at us and say, you know what, there's something different about that person. Because you know what, most people out there, they're loud. Most people out there are minding other people's business. Most people out there are lazy. But the Bible says to study to be quiet. The Bible says to do your own business. The Bible says to work with your own hands. How different would you be in this world if you would do those things? Live a life of productivity. Live a life of working hard. Go to 1 Peter 2. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2. So he says how you ought to walk and to please God. We're to live a way, it says, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. A life of integrity, of fairness, of being just, and one of content. You see, why? Because look, we ought to be different than the world. 1 Peter 2, 9, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. It says, a peculiar people. People who are peculiar. You know, what is that? That's being strange or unusual. And look, you ought to be different than your unsaved, the people around you who are not saved. You ought to be different than people who just don't go to church. You ought to be peculiar. It says, why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That they would look at you and they wouldn't see just anyone else. No, they would look at you, they'd say, you know what, there's a Christian. There's a Christian who is actually peaceful and calm, who's minding his business and doing his work and working hard at it. Verse number 12, the Bible says, having your conversation, again, honest. He's saying the same thing. Having your conversation, your life, the way you live your life, it says, honest among the Gentiles. One of uprightness, integrity, one of esteem, of dignity. People can look to honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, how should we live our lives? How do we live a life that is pleasing to God? People can look to, well, number one, you got to study to be quiet. And decide, you know what? I'm just going to devote time and attention to being alone with the Lord. Devote time and attention to quieting yourself, meditating upon the Word of God. Devote time and attention to reading and listening to the Word of God. You see, how is it done? You got to just do your own business. Mind what God has given you in your life. And number three, you got to work with your own hands. Meaning, look, in your life, you got to just get to work on your spiritual life. And don't let contentment or laziness just make you waste your life and never go anywhere. Decide, you know, I'm going to work with my own hands. You see why? That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. A life that is content, a life that is honest. See, this is how we should strive to live our lives. study to be quiet, do your own business, and work with your own hands. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word and for our church and for everyone that's here. I ask you, please be with each one of our lives, Lord. And I ask you, help us all to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. And I pray that you just bless the families that are here, bless each one and every one of us, God. And I just thank you for being merciful and long-suffering towards us, God. And I just pray that you bless our homes, bless our church, bless our lives. I say, please be with our pastor and his family as he's away. I hope to come home safely, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.